You're listening to Truth To You on truth2you.org. That's truth2u.org. Also available on iTunes. I'm Jono, and Hani has joined me in the studio. Say g'day.
G'day.
And g'day wherever you may be around the world. It is good to have your company. It is time for Cultured Pearls with the Cultured Karaite. G'day, Deborah.
Oh, it's a bad day, Jono. See, it's a dark.
What's wrong with?
It's a dark. This is a black day for Cultured Pearls.
What's happened to you now?
Jono, we may lose listeners because we have to put this out there today, Jono. We just have to, and it's so bad. But
what?
Jono,
hey, what's going on? This sounds dire. Oh. What are you talking about? Fill me in.
Jono, we've got to give the people the bitter truth. We've just got to do this. They've got to know the bitter truth.
We can't do that on air, Dev. What are you talking about?
We have to.
No, we can't.
We have no choice now. It's come to this. Yes. What? I feel like the Grim Reaper here.
Oh, what are you going to do, Dev? You can't do this on air. You can't bring it down and tell everybody the truth. They'll never listen again.
I know. But we have to do this. There's no turning back now. I have the truth, and I have to give it. I just have to.
Oh, well, I can always edit it out later, Dev, so go ahead.
Jono, we have to tell people about sugar.
Not sugar!
Hang on, I didn't sign up for this. No! Yeah.
We should have talked about this beforehand. What do you mean we can't tell them about sugar? Do you know how many people just switched off because you mentioned sugar?
I know. We're going to lose everybody on this, but we have to put the truth out there.
You know, last time, I'm telling you now, Deb, last time I mentioned sugar, I mentioned it on Facebook, and I immediately got lots of quick and angry responses. And I thought, you know, this is obviously too much of a controversial subject. I can never do this again. But you go ahead.
I know. It's on me. It'll just be on me.
It's your fault.
Yeah, I'll be the Grim Reaper here. But we have to. There's so much misinformation. We got to do this. Okay, I'm going to, I really do want to bring people a whole lot of information today. Let me qualify this. I'm going to read part of it because I've got so many facts written down that I had to write them all down. But I've been getting a lot of emails and questions on Facebook about sweeteners. And it made me realize how much misinformation and disinformation, you know, there is out there. And how much hype, you know, how much marketing in the health, even in the organic health food industry, how much hype there is. And, you know, people believe it or they get confused, you know, whichever. And we really do need to break down, you know, all about sugars. And one of the things that I just want to say up front, and again, here I am, the bearer of bad news, but sugar and sweeteners wreak havoc on your health, and they're highly addictive. Mm-hmm. They affect the actual same part of your brain that drugs do, like cocaine or heroin, that same center part in your brain where those drugs wreak havoc. Sugar does the same thing there. And if anybody struggles with high blood pressure or high cholesterol, diabetes, or extra weight, then generally there are insulin sensitivities issue, and they would be better off and would benefit from avoiding all sweeteners. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that we need to let's break down for everybody, you know, what sugars are, because I think that's where the disconnect comes, is people don't really know what sugars are, and there's so many different forms, and they do different things, and one of them actually is more dangerous than the others. So let's just begin, and we have glucose, and I think most people have heard of glucose, and glucose is actually the form of energy that our cells are designed to run on. As a matter of fact, every cell in your body, and even bacteria, which, you know, I've talked about how the kefir eats the lactose, which is milk sugar. Every bacteria, you know, some of it's converted to glucose, and everything runs on glucose. And as a matter of fact, almost nearly every living thing on Earth uses glucose for energy, which is, that was an astounding fact for me, you know, to learn. And then there's lactose, which I talk about a lot, which is the sugar in dairy. And all, you know, all dairy has a certain amount of lactose in it. And then there's maltose, which is a grain sugar. And it's only about half as sweet as, like table sugar. Mm-hmm. That would be from barley and wheat. And have you ever heard of something called sugar alcohols?
Sugar alcohols?
Yes.
No. What? Define that for me.
Well, that would be something called xylitol, sorbitol, erythritol. And those are actually, you know, sugars from like fruit or berries. But here's what they do. They're made by attaching a hydrogen atom to the sugar molecule in a process. And these sugar alcohols are not well absorbed by the body, so they can cause a lot of gastric upset, bloating, gas, and mm-hmm. diarrhea. If you ingest too much of it, it'll cause some pretty severe diarrhea.
So yep. The first one you mentioned, xylitol?
Xylitol.
You said that a lot.
Yes.
You said a lot.
What do you see it in?
In lots of health food recipes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I've never actually bought it because of our rule of if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Yeah.
but now you know how to pronounce it. So xylitol and sorbitol was the other one?
Sorbitol and erythritol. Yes.
Erythritol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you go on because this is very interesting.
Yeah. But so these sugar alcohols are, you know, they're not. Yeah, they say all natural because they come from, you know, a berry or a fruit. But there's a chemical process where they attach a hydrogen atom. Hello. I'm just not going to – I want things the way the Creator created them. Mm-hmm. And so I just – I can't really go along with sugar alcohols. And I personally don't care for gastric upset, so I'm gonna avoid that. Then there's sucrose, which, you know, we all know that's table sugar. And sucrose is made up of 50% glucose and 50% fructose. And fructose is the sugar that's found in, you know, fruits and some vegetables. And sugar, it actually has been left by the wayside for fructose. And that form of fructose is called high fructose corn sugar, corn syrup. And we all know how awful that is. And high fructose corn syrup usually is about 55% fructose. And study after study, you know, are showing that it is wreaking havoc with people and their bodies. I have a little excerpt here from Dr. McCullough. He says your body metabolizes fructose in a much different way than glucose. Fructose is broken down in your liver just like alcohol and produces many of the side effects of chronic alcohol use, right down to the beer belly. People are consuming fructose in quantities that are 400 to 800% higher than they were 100 years ago due to its pervasive presence in just about all processed foods.
Yeah.
We've really kind of come to a place in our home and I would encourage people to do this. If it's got a nutritional label on it, don't buy it. Just avoid it. Because
wait a minute. If it has a nutritional label on it, don't buy it.
That's what we're doing. We've kind of come to that.
Process. So hang on, fill me in. A nutritional label is in the label that tells you
how much fats or how much protein. Yeah. Really, Deb. So you just avoid that altogether.
We're trying real hard to do that.
And the reason is because.
Well, I'm going to get to that later on, but there's hidden sugars in so many things, and I've got a list. As a matter of fact, I'm going to email you a list, Jono, to see if you can put it up on the website, that are the names of hidden sugars in processed foods, and they'll be listed on the nutrition label, but you'll if you don't know what it is, it's going to be one of those names you can't pronounce, and you'll never know that it's really sugar, and it's a it's amazing the amount of hidden sugars in things that are processed, and so therefore, you know, would have a nutrition label on them. It's just amazing.
Okay, so fructose, that's just the sugars that are in fruit, right?
Usually, yes. But now, you know, of course, what they've done with corn, you know, is take this high fructose corn syrup, and you know, and processed it, and that's what they're putting into. You know, literally everything. You can you can hardly pick up anything. And the thing is, fructose, which is nearly all, exclusively broken down by the liver, is converted directly into dangerous fats. Glucose and sucrose are not exclusively broken down by the liver, but the liver, but this high fructose, or the fructose, is. And so this is one of the reasons that fructose is the leading cause of obesity and diabetes. But only 20% of glucose is metabolized in your liver. Mm. And anyway, so this is, it's related to that, you know, that nearly every cell in your body can directly use glucose as a source of fuel. So it's burned up, you know, pretty quickly. But fructose, which even table sugar is 50% fructose. It's
table sugar is 50% fructose?
And
doesn't it come from the sugar cane? So that's, yep. All right, okay, so right. Okay.
So this is the white refined, what is known as table sugar, white refined sugar that people generally sprinkle on on everything and put in their tea and their coffee and so on and so forth. That's, did you say that's 50% fructose?
Fructose and 50% sucrose. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, can I interrupt, because the first one that you mentioned, glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I think of glucose, I think of when I'm, and it's much rarer these days, praise Yah, but when I am, if I've got a cold or something like that, what I want from the chemist, Dev, is it's right next to the little cash register there. It's in a little compartment all of its own. The wonder drug that is the jelly bean. Now, if I remember correctly, the jelly bean is glucose, right?
It does say glucose on it. You can't eat it anyway because it has gelatin in it. So,
but now it's got gelatin in it. That's why I haven't seen it. Well, I haven't been sick. But
And so, see, that form, you know, comes from usually it'll come from, you know, something like bread or pasta or rice or potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that comes from.
Glucose.
Okay. So is glucose good or bad?
Well, it's not bad in extreme moderation. It's not bad because your whole body needs it to run on.
Okay.
But you're going to get plenty of it. If you're eating, you know, good, healthy vegetables and fruits, you're going to get plenty of glucose.
Okay. But Dev, the black jelly bean is the crown jewel of jelly beans, right?
I know, but it's gelatin.
Okay. So now, honey,
if you can find your kosher, jelly beans.
Just remind everybody about the gelatin and.
Oh well, it's derived from pork meat, is it not, Dev? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why we avoid those. But
all gelatin, because there's bovine derived gelatin.
Yeah,
too,
there is bovine derived gelatin, but they'll have to specify it on the packaging.
All right, this is what I want all the listeners to do: is to get on the internet and or talk to whoever you know and find out if there is a bovine gelatin black jelly bean in the world that I can buy, or anyway a non pig derived
black jelly bean.
Black jelly
bean. Hang on a minute. We've just gone from like saying no, you shouldn't be eating this stuff, you're promoting it and getting people to find it for you.
Dev has just said that the glucose is a good thing as long as
it's in fresh fruit and vegetables and things like that.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, wait a minute. Wait. So
you can only have two of them.
If there's a kosher black jelly bean in the world, Dev.
Idea.
How many would I be able to have? Like, could I have one a week or?
Yeah, two. You can have two.
I can have two a week.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll have one before we do cultured pearls. Okay. So that's that's all right. I just wanted to. That's glucose, everyone. Black jelly bean, kosher black jelly bean. Let me know, dear listeners, if you find it.
I'm sensing an addiction here, Dev.
Come on, when was the last time I had one? But I mean, that's the first thing I think of when I think of glucose. Anyway, Dev, please continue.
Oh my! Well, you know, the fructose really here is the bad guy, and you know what they've done is they've processed it, you know, into this high you know fructose corn syrup. Now, we've talked about this before. If you eat a whole orange, if you take the peeling off and then eat the whole orange, fiber and all, you're going to get fructose. But because of the fiber and the enzymes and the vitamins and the minerals, it's not going to affect you as if you had, like, say, a Coke, you know, made with the high fructose.
Dev, if I remember correctly, this is when we were talking about the difference between glycemic index and glycemic load.
Exactly.
And if you, for example, if you juice an orange, you're going to have, now correct me if I'm wrong, but the glycemic load has a much higher spike if you drink the orange juice than if you actually ate the orange with the pulp. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. So eating, you know, fructose is not awful as long as you're eating it the way it was created to be eaten. That, you know, our creator made it safe for us to eat it that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and take in the fructose where it's not near as damaging to us. But of course, you know, man has changed it. But one of the possible more dangerous sides to fructose is that it elevates your uric acid levels, which is actually more dangerous than elevated cholesterol levels because it causes a chronic low-level inflammation. And that inflammation, they now know, increases your risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, cancer, arthritis, and premature aging. And so, you know, that inflammation now has become a real big thing, and they're getting tests now to actually determine if you have this inflammation going on in your body. And of course, if you're not eating properly and you're taking in, you know, a lot of sugar and fructose and those kinds of things, you're going to have this inflammation.
So with this inflammation, like, please forgive me, I'm a bit naive about these things, but inflammation, okay, so basically inflammation around organs or what are we talking
your
about?
Cell. Actually, it's your cells. Actually at the cellular level, yes, right. It's inflammation at the cellular level. And that's actually more dangerous because, you know, we do know that, you know, when cells become, errant, you know, that's when cancers can form.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So... And that's why they're saying they're seeing an increased, you know, risk of cancer with this inflammation, besides the increased risk of cardiovascular disease. I also read that, and this was really interesting, that sugar molecules are jagged. And when they're in your bloodstream, they actually can, you know, prick and cut the insides of the little vessel walls. And that's when cholesterol, you know, rushes to the scene of the crime and patches up, you know, the little nick on the inside of the vessel wall. And you get enough of that, you're going to eventually have a blocked vessel.
Right.
Now, this is, of course, for those who have listened to the Stephen Tamplin, the naturopath, Stephen Tamplin talked about cholesterol and how it works and how it's actually a good thing. But when we abuse our system, and as you say, with sugar, the way you describe it, it sounds like it can be corrosive on our veins and arteries, that cholesterol rushes to smooth it over in the same way that Keith Johnson does on Toropels when the chemia gets out of control. When the chemia, and then along comes Keith to sort of smooth it all over, you know, and he's kind of like the cholesterol of the program. But so the cholesterol is a necessary thing to lubricate our arteries and veins and so on and so forth. But if there is a problem and an ongoing problem and cholesterol builds up, trying to do what it's supposed to do, then that's when you get blockages and things like that, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting because people, and I was the same way until I read Track Your Plaque by Dr. William Davis, and that's the same cardiologist of Wheat Belly fame. He has a book that he wrote before Wheat Belly called Track Your Plaque. It's one of the best books I've read. And he explains that, and even Dr. Mark Hyman now is coming out with information that high cholesterol levels are normally due to sugar, not fat, in your diet. And everybody has it in their head because it's been pounded into us that dietary fat causes high cholesterol, and that's simply not true. It's more the case of the sugar, you know, causing the cholesterol, you know, to come to the rescue of the inside of the vessels. And actually, when you lose weight, your cholesterol will go up because all of that weight that you're losing is free floating in your blood. I read today that it takes about 4 to 6 weeks, you know, to get that out of your system. And they said, don't have a cholesterol test done until you're through losing weight because it's going to scare you to death. And, you know, and they said it really will come back down. That was, as a matter of fact, that was Dr. William Davis.
So we also know, of course, and I think we've discussed this in the program before, that sugar is acidic. It raises the pH
yes.
of the body into an acidic environment. Also, again, cancer can thrive in such an environment, as many unhealthy things can. And there's another reason to keep it down. But we've discussed on the program, haven't we, Deb? We've talked about these things. We've also talked about wheat in Dr. Davis's book, The Wheat Belly. We've talked about, now we're talking about sugars and processed food. And those three things, I am absolutely convinced, Deb, those three things eliminated from one's diet, and sugars, I mean, obviously in fruit, we get sugars naturally, fruit and vegetables and even milk and things like that, we get sugars naturally. But eliminating processed food, particularly those with the numbers and things that we can't pronounce, and eliminating modern wheat from the diet, and eliminating excess sugars from the diet, we're bound to lose weight. And I was listening this morning to a program on the radio, and they were saying that at least in Australia, the youth, children of Australia, 17% of them are obese now.
Yeah,
17%. And that's a massive rise. I mean, I think that's significantly higher in the States too, I think.
It is. I have some statistics coming up, not exactly on obese, but actually maybe even worse. But you're absolutely right in everything you say. And what, you know, we've said this before, but when you put wheat or pasta on your tongue, your body does not know that that's wheat or pasta. It goes, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's how your body processes it, as sugar. And so naturally, if you're eating something, let's take for instance cake, I mean, you've got wheat and flour and sugar, and your body's just like on overload when you have something like that. So but one of the dangers that this just keeps getting worse, so that's why I really feel like the grim reaper today, is this thing called, and I don't know if you've heard of it, and it's only been brought to my attention really in the last 10 months when I've started doing a lot of research. And everywhere I turn, I'm reading about this. And when I did all this research for sugar, this came up, you know, just immediately, is that there's something called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Have you ever heard of that?
No. What is that?
Well, it's taking us over. Fructose metabolism is very similar to alcohol metabolism, because remember we just said a while ago that the liver is fructose is like 100% metabolized in the liver, so that it's very similar to alcohol, and it has a multitude of toxic effects, just like alcohol does. Sugar has the same thing, including this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So metabolically, it's very similar to drinking alcohol without the buzz.
Right.
And these statistics are heartbreaking. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is currently the most common liver disease in the U.S. and worldwide, affecting an estimated 10 to 24% of the world's population, not just the United States, the world's population. In the United States, the Centers for Disease Control reports that currently approximately one-half of the U.S. adult, one-half, I don't want to skip over that, one-half of the U.S. adult population is overweight.
Wow.
And what that means is a BMI, and now there's talk that they're not going to use the BMI anymore. But right now they're still using what's called the BMI, and there's BMI calculators online everywhere. You can Google that.
Body mass index calculator. If you Google it, you'll be able to find one. And you know, there maybe it's not as accurate as some other tests that are starting to be implemented now, but it's pretty good. It'll give you a pretty close idea.
It will. And what they're calling overweight is a body mass index, a BMI of over 25. And that's one half of the U.S. population that has that. And then one quarter of the U.S. adult population is over 30, which is considered obese.
Mm-hmm.
That means upwards of 29 million Americans have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yes.
So their bodies are basically reacting to the fructose as if it is alcohol.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying? So
exactly.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So it's an epidemic. We've got this.
But you see, well, I was just going to say, I mean, you said before, Dev, that it's like drinking the alcohol without the buzz, but there is a buzz, isn't there? There is a buzz
there
that
is.
You get from sugar.
Yes, because that center in your brain where the drugs affect is the same exact place in your brain. There's also something besides this 29 million Americans that have this NAFLD, the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. 64 million of these persons have non-alcoholic. Here, I'm gonna try to pronounce this, steatohepatitis, or something called NASH. And even more alarming than these statistics are that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is occurring among children in the United States.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking what's happening to our children, you know, possibly because of our either that we're not educated or our you know,
diabetes. Diabetes is another example that are affecting children and caused by a poor diet. Mm. Now, Dev, that brings me to something else. This article that I was referring to on the news, I was listening to this in my half sleep as I was waking up this morning, but I now remember it was in regards to Disney. The Disney Corporation had decided that by the year 2015, so there's 3 years, they are going to be pulling into line all advertising that is in regards to products that people consume. I was going to say food, but they're not necessarily the same thing. Products that people consume directed to children, junk food, basically. And what they want to do is to somehow apply some a higher level of conduct in as far as advertising is concerned, a higher level of consumables, a healthier benchmark of consumables that are directed to children on their network. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. I am sure that it won't go as far as many like us would like, but they have observed the level of obesity that has increased over the years dramatically.
Because of them.
Because of advertising that they have allowed, and they recognize this now, because of the advertising that they have allowed on their networks. They've gone, okay, we are partially responsible for this. We don't want to be responsible for this anymore. We're only going to advertise things that are healthy for children to consume. We don't know what benchmark they're going to be using, but certainly they want to move towards a healthier diet and promoting a healthier diet towards the children, because they see now that there is an out-of-control epidemic of obesity and various other related diseases in children that's only going to get worse. And that they said they're hoping that the other networks will also follow suit. They're doing it gradually over 3 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out and what measures they're going to be taking. But it can't be ignored anymore, can it?
It really can't, because this is getting way out of hand, and it's, you know, it's not only costing individuals money, it's costing, you know, taxpayer money. This is, you know, spilling over to, you know, to people who are in these kinds of conditions that, you know, can't afford, and so the taxpayers are footing their bills, but also, you know, people themselves, you know, can't afford, you just can't afford to be sick anymore. It's just gotten too expensive, and, you know, of course they just want to poke you with all these drugs that are ridiculously expensive. But let me go on about these non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, because it's actually become frightening. Of all the cases of liver disease, 25% are due to this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and it's estimated that 25 to 35% of the U.S. population has it. And it's understandable, given that there's 24 million diabetics and 57 million pre-diabetics. That's one thing that I don't want to miss here, is that there are people walking around right now that are pre-diabetic and have absolutely no clue that they are.
Absolutely no idea.
Mm. Yeah, and some of these people are not overweight. That's one of the things that this Dr. Mark Hyman brought out in an article I read this week. He calls them skinny fat people. They're thin, you know, but they're either pre-diabetic or diabetic, and they're not obese. And it's all due to, you know, these horrible processed foods and processed sugars, you know, that people are getting. And there was a, I've got a little study here that was done at the National Institutes of Health. And of course, this is on rats. But the results of it was that, these rats that were fed the fructose developed early features of metabolic syndrome when compared with, the rats that were fed just normal, what they call rat chow. Rat chow.
Probably dried rat.
Yeah. Ooh. but in addition, they saw this increase in the uric acid in these rats in their liver, and they saw tumor, what they call tumor necrosis factor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and this is just, you know, this is just on rats. And just think, you know, what this stuff in larger quantities, because people, honestly, I guess that's one of my biggest points. People are getting larger doses of this stuff than they understand that they are. They can, just because you don't put table sugar on your cereal anymore or in your coffee or whatever, doesn't mean you're not getting high doses of these, especially fructose, in all of these hidden sugars that you can't pronounce on these labels.
Right. Deb, in the research that you've done in regards to sugars, did you also look at, I mean, I know that we've spoken about a sweetener that we use, stevia.
Yes.
Because you can use a lot less of it. It's very, very sweet, and it is also alkaline. It's an alkaline. It's plant based, but it has an alkaline effect as opposed to an acidic effect. It's a very good alternative if you must have sweetener. But did you investigate the artificial sweeteners like
aspartame?
Well, I can tell you, I didn't do that specifically for this one because I had done some research on that before. Sucralose and I say aspartame, but same thing, equal. It's known as the little blue package. Aspartame and sucralose is in like a little yellow package. These things directly affect your central nervous system. And that's awful. You don't want anything to affect your central nervous system. That's for sure.
It's so, just going from one bad thing to a worse one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, and they feel like, and it's interesting because I never read this about stevia, but these artificial sweeteners, saccharin and aspartame and sucralose, actually lead to more diabetes because they affect the central nervous system, they cause you to crave sugar. So you're not going to just stop at a Diet Coke.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Mm.
You mentioned the craving thing. Now the thing is that we have established that sugar is an addiction, right? So people do crave sugar. And, I mean, we're basically saying stop it. You know, if you're an alcoholic, you can go to Alcoholics Anonymous and you can get support. What do you do? What
is
do people
sugar
do?
Anonymous?
Well, of course, I think one of the first things is the stevia, is to switch over, you know, to the stevia. But as we've also talked about, we feel like, I think all three of us feel like we have the secret to stopping cravings.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's with the probiotic food and drink.
Amen.
It absolutely works. I've never, you know, spoken with anybody yet that you know, didn't say I'm shocked, you know, that this has completely taken away my cravings. Mm. And it does. It absolutely does. So
it's not just a matter of, as we have spoken about before, Deb, it's not just a matter of eating fermented foods and consuming kefir, drinking kefir. It's not just a matter of that reprogramming our taste buds, but it is also taking away the cravings by which our, as you mentioned, when it comes to artificial sweeteners, our nervous system, or in the case of actual high-intensity sugars, refined sugars, has an addictive quantity. It takes that away over time, reprograms our, takes those cravings away, reprograms our taste buds, and replaces it with something infinitely healthier.
Oh, yes. Amen, amen. You, that is exactly right. But all of this, you know, besides the stevia, leads us to when you go into a health food store, they're going to say, oh, we have this, you know, this new sugar, we have this new, and is there a healthy sugar out there? Is there anything, you know, that we can have that's, you know, worth it or good for us or anything like that? And let me just go through, you know, some of these we touched on. Already, the high fructose corn syrup is 45% glucose, which is starch from the corn, and 55% fructose. Table sugar is 50% sucrose and 50% fructose. Now, what about honey? Let's talk about raw organic honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's 70% fructose. And so it's not so bad in its fructose in its free form in honey, which is a good thing. So that moderates the damage, but only slightly.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're still wanting to stay under 25 grams of fructose a day, in particular fructose a day. And that's pretty low. That would only be like two apples if you, right. if you stayed,
wow.
or maybe three apples if you stayed under, 25 grams of fructose a day. And that's, you want to keep it pretty low. So for me, now this is just me, this is just a suggestion that I would tell people is not to use it for cooking or baking or anything like that. But I reserve honey for when I'm sick. If I get a cough, you know, due to some drainage, which honestly, I have to be honest here, I haven't had any of that in a very long time now. But if I should get to feeling bad or a little cough or, you know, a little drainage or something like that, I reserve a teaspoon of honey before I go to bed and take it. And that stops my cough. You know, honey is highly antibiotic.
Mm. Honey and cinnamon.
Yes.
Is an excellent, and also Manuka honey or Manuka honey?
Well, that's, yes.
Medicated honey. So,
yeah.
Excellent yes. stuff. What about, Dev, did you happen to investigate maple syrup?
I did, and that's pretty good. It's not quite as good as blackstrap molasses, but maple syrup is pretty good. But again, you're talking teaspoonfuls, you know, here or there, in extreme moderation, you know, because of the same situation of the fructose. So, you know, what I'm saying is you really should try to learn to live, you know, with as very little of this stuff as possible to yes. live and good
probably,
health.
Yeah, and leave it for special occasions.
Special occasions so, because
celebration.
Sure, that's
what
right.
we found. Yeah. What we found, and actually, it was when. Because you were telling, I don't know if we shared this on air before, but when you did a barista course.
Oh, yeah.
And do you want to tell everyone about that?
Oh, a few years back I did a barista course. I can operate an espresso machine. And it was the first time that, and the guy that was doing the class was just, he said, you will never, ever, ever put sugar in your coffee. It's
was,
just not done.
He was a coffee perfectionist.
And I thought, oh, no, I'm not a real coffee connoisseur if I have sugar in my coffee. And he said, there is no need for sugar in your coffee. It's in the milk. And
the
I
milk,
thought,
the milk, is,
the
sweet
milk
enough.
Is sweet enough. And, I mean, I don't even drink coffee anymore much. But it was just then that I realized, oh, of course, there's sweetener in the milk.
And that one thing that he said started us off on an enormous journey, really,
yeah.
because we thought, I've never really thought not to have sugar in my coffee. I wonder what that's like, you know. So we decided let's not have sugar in the coffee. And because did he say or someone else said eventually it will just taste sweet to you
that's right,
because
he
of
did
the milk?
Say that.
He said that, and we thought, oh well, let's do the experiment and see what happens. So the first few times, first few weeks, I suppose, with coffee or tea without sugar, it kind of tasted, you know, kind of bland, like it was missing something. But it wasn't long.
But it was good coffee too. And that
it
was the difference.
Good coffee. But it wasn't
right,
long
right.
before it wasn't long before it did start to, and it, we really noticed it. Oh my goodness, it starts to taste. You can taste the sweetness in just the milk if you have. And I know some people don't like it with milk, so they have it black or whatever. But I'm just saying, you can reprogram your taste buds. And once you start to eliminate sugars out of things that you usually add it to, those things will eventually begin to taste sweet to you naturally. And a whole lot of other things will start to taste. And now, that happened to me. And I would say to Hani, when she was making whatever it may be, oh boy, this tastes really, really sweet. And she says, well, I didn't make it any sweeter than I usually make it. And I say to her, well, you've got to tone it down because I can really taste it now. It's really, really sweet. And so now
we don't even have we don't have table sugar.
It's funny, Deb, because people come around and we say, hey, would you like a cup of tea or coffee or, you know, dandelion, herbal, whatever it may be. And they say, oh, sure, sure. So we sit down to a cup of whatever. And they say, where's the sugar? And we go, I don't know. Where is the sugar? Do we have sugar? you know, because
that's good. That's really a good thing.
Yeah.
But I must say, I also, the key fear is, I really do think it is the key. Even if you stop nothing else, even if you really want to get off sugar but you're finding it's too hard, just keep doing what you're doing and start drinking kefir, and it won't be long before your taste buds will actually change and you might find that you don't want the sugary things so much.
The cravings go away. That's what happened with me. It not only did the cravings go away, but it starts to kind of repulse you. It kind of repels you. You take a bite of it and you go, oh, it's sugary sweet. It's too sweet.
That's right. Mind you, I just wanted to say that the disclaimer, we actually don't drink that much coffee anymore.
No, true.
Right. Okay. Well, and the kefir takes away your appetite. I can remember back when I was eating sugar and I just wanted more. I just wanted more and more. But the kefir, you know, will not only stop the cravings, but it will stop your appetite from being out of control. So that's
particularly, particularly for us ladies, there's a certain time of the month where I want sugar. I just want it.
Sure.
And it's a partly hormonal thing. And I know that if I just drink some more kefir, it'll help me get me through that time.
Oh, sure. And putting some berries in it, that helps the sweetness right there. I have to tell you just a little story because before I go on, I've got two really big things that are being hyped up now in the natural food realm that are totally worthless. But anyway, speaking of how your taste buds change, I've been making some water kefir with some real thin slices of lime or some real thin slices of lemon. Uh-huh. And because it's really hot here now. I think it was about 97 or 98 here today.
That'd be wonderful right now.
We're freezing here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the water kefir, and I found a way to make it almost zero sugar, and that is just to leave the grains in it for 48, you know, for longer, for like 48 hours, and they eat all the sugar. And so, you know, it'll still taste sweet, a little bit sweet, but there's virtually no sugar left in it. So that's what I've started doing, is leaving the water kefir to sit for 48 hours, and then I still second ferment it with the real thin slices of lemon or limes. So Zev took one of the lemons, and because it's got the rind on it and everything, and he ate it. And he was like, this is really good. And I looked at him, and so I took a bite out of one of the limes, peeling and all. I'm talking the green part, the white part, and then the inside part. And it was really good. And wow. I thought, I would have never eaten a lime peeling in my life. I couldn't even imagine that. And now I'm eating them. Now, not in great quantities, you know, I'll admit that. And the water kefir turns out to taste very heavy of the oil, you know, that's in the peeling of the citrus. And that would, a year ago, there's no way I could have, you know, that would have been repulsive to me a year ago. It's absolutely delicious. It is so good. And our taste buds have changed that dramatically over this time period that we would actually eat the peel of a lemon or a lime.
And it's basically fermented, really. Fermented
lemon. Peel, I suppose. That's blowing my mind. Listen, can I just take you back a little bit, Deb? Sorry.
Sure.
We mentioned honey. We mentioned maple syrup. You very, very briefly mentioned black molasses. Can you just quickly fill everyone in about black molasses again in regards to sugars?
Yeah, what I've always known since I was a kid is blackstrap molasses is actually when the sugar cane is first pressed, it's actually the juice or the sap or whatever you want to call it that comes out in that first press. And I tell it is so high in minerals. It is amazing how high in minerals it is. All kinds of different good minerals. And actually, if you use like, say, a half a teaspoon or maybe a teaspoon in the morning with either some apple cider vinegar and water or maybe even lemon juice and water, it would be a really good, especially if you weren't having any other sugar, it would be a really good start to your morning with really high content. And actually, that's what I use in my water kefir, because water kefir likes minerals. So I use what's called turbinado sugar, which is part blackstrap molasses and part the crystals, you know, the what we know to look like sugar. It's hasn't been refined into the white sugar yet. So there's stages that it goes through. There's the blackstrap molasses, and then the turbinado, and then actually I think like succinat, and then turbinado. Those are the kind of the stages of sugar cane as it gets all the way down to white sugar.
Is that like a brown sort of sticky, gluggy?
Actually, like, the succinat, it looks like, to me, it looks like little tiny dark mustard seeds.
Oh, okay.
Really, really small. But they're dark. They're dark brown because they have a lot of the molasses still left in them.
So you can use only the blackstrap molasses in the water kefir, or you need another form of sugar as well.
I've never tried it with just the blackstrap by itself. I because I don't think I would like the taste. I don't know, but I'm just thinking in my head that I might not like the taste. So that's why I use the turbinado, which still has a lot of it's really dark brown. So it still has a lot of the molasses in it, but it's not quite so dark.
Right, okay. Interesting.
Now, because we were talking about this recently, we were talking about the price comparison between raw sugar, brown sugar, and molasses. Mm-hmm. And molasses is the least processed out of all of those. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And yet molasses is more expensive is what you were saying,
is
that right?
It is. Yes. Well, here it is. Here. Yeah.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, you can basically buy white processed sugar for $1 a kilo.
Cheaper than molasses.
Yeah.
Figure that one out, boys and girls. That makes no sense. But
well, it makes perfect sense from a financial position.
That's right. They know that's the best part. You know, they know that's the highest quality is the black strap. So that's why it's more expensive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It's the same with everything.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
I suppose so. What else, Deb? Is there anything else that you want to touch on?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of, I've got two more sugars, and these are the two sugars that right now, wherever you go into these health food places, they're going, oh, you've got to try this. We have healthy sugar. This is such healthy sugar. Oh my goodness.
I know what you're going to say.
Agave.
Yes.
Agave. What's that?
Let Deb tell you.
Okay, go on.
Well, agave nectar comes from this plant that, to me, it kind of looks like similar to an aloe vera plant. It grows in like desert, you know, kind of climates like we would have in Arizona, New Mexico. And the sap, you know, on the inside is really sweet and sticky. And so they process this, what they call the nectar of it, the sap of it. Mm-hmm. And, it hit the health food stores, you know, really big because, I don't even know why, but
it was a trend, right?
The latest fad.
It was the latest fad. Okay.
That's exactly right. And so this, Dr. Ingrid Kolstad, where I'd like to meet this lady because she's a fellow of the American College of Nutrition and an associate faculty member at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. She, and I quote, agave is almost all fructose, a highly processed sugar with great marketing.
There it is.
There it is. It's terrible for you. They're calling it the designer high fructose corn syrup.
Ooh.
They are. And Dr. McCullough is just like, oh my gosh, this agave is a nightmare. And he's calling it the designer high fructose corn syrup because it's all fructose. And people are thinking that it's all organic or natural or, you know, and this is one of those cases where, you know, natural and organic means absolutely nothing. So it's going to wreak havoc on you if you use this agave. Now, something that's just, you know, fairly recently come out and, oh boy, everybody's going crazy about it. Coconut crystals or coconut palm sugar.
I was just going to say, what about palm sugar?
Yeah, there we go.
Coconut palm sugar. Well, it's sucrose and fructose, and it's a highly processed sugar with great marketing. Mm. You know, the fructose amount in the coconut palm sugar is about 48.5%, and high fructose corn syrup is 55%. So it's nipping at the heels. It's no different. But
so it really doesn't matter. You may as well just buy the white sugar at the supermarket.
Oh, I know. But there, to me, there's something even a little more insidious with the coconut palm sugar. And this is where I'm really hoping people will really get out of their soup, what I call their supermarket box, and think about where the things in your supermarket came from. I'm really trying my best to buy locally grown and support the local economy where I am. And try to, if we drive down the road and we see like a tomato stand or something, we usually stop and try to support, people who are growing, their own vegetables and things. And we have to think about where these things come from and what's going on, what are we doing, to the economies where these things are coming from. And you would think, your first thought is, oh, well, we're helping, we're buying their product. We're buying, these come from, probably the Philippines where they grow so much coconut, and we're helping that economy. There's a company that's a really reputable company called Tropical Traditions, and mm-hmm. Tropical Traditions sells a lot of high quality coconut oil and coconut flour, just lots of coconut products. And this is a very large outfit. And this is a little quote from them that I want to reach you, because I really want you to start thinking outside the box and what things can actually be causing. As retailers in the U.S. and elsewhere also cash in on this new demand of coconut palm sugar, sadly, the other side of the story is not being told. What no one is warning consumers about is that coconut palm trees cannot produce both coconuts and coconut palm sugar. When the sap is used to make coconut palm sugar, is collected from the coconut palm tree, from the flower bud that will eventually form a coconut, that tree can no longer produce coconuts. Think about that for a minute. No coconuts, no coconut oil, no dried coconut, no coconut flour.
Is that's coconut, so scary.
It is. Is coconut sugar worth giving up these other valued products that come from the coconut?
Are you telling me that if somebody does this to one tree, it will never again produce coconuts?
They have, so far, they have never had it to happen. They go on to say that some claim that if a coconut palm tree is producing coconut sugar, which means that it cannot produce coconuts at the same time, that it still can be converted back to producing coconuts at a later time. However, this particular lady they interviewed has never ever seen it happen, and they have not seen any studies done, and there have not been any conducted, or if there have been conducted, they haven't been published to back up the claim that these coconut trees can be used again to produce coconuts. The natives there have never ever seen it happen, and there's no studies that say that it can happen.
So do tribal communities harvest? Have they ever harvested the coconut palm sugar? Have they, or is this a new modern invention?
It's pretty new. It's pretty new. I'm sure that they were doing it on a small scale, but now, of course, the cash cow has come in, to do it on a much, much larger scale. And this is not a sustainable product. This is a devastating product. Okay. That's going to eventually, devastate a lot more.
Okay, so if large corporations get hold of this, it could wipe out coconut trees.
Yes, virtually. I mean, that doesn't sound possible, but it's absolutely true. It can happen.
Yeah.
And just think of what the price of coconut oil and coconut flour will go to.
Oh, it's bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's worth pointing out as well. Yeah.
So it's just horrible. And this, it's all about money, and it's all about, people, believing the hype, even in the health food realm of the world. Folks, it's still hype. It's still all smoke and mirrors. It's still money, money, money.
Mm. But having said that, of course, we have to, whenever this is mentioned, that it's about the money and that the corporations are really, what they're doing is they're supplying a demand, and the demand is sugar. And if people feel like, because really deep down, people who have a lot of sugar, I believe, boy, this is going to get me into trouble if I say this. But people, I know people feel guilty about the amount of sugar that they consume. When they know they're consuming too much, deep down, secretly, they're guilty about it. And if they can find a source of sugar that makes them feel better, whether it be from this plant or from that plant, it's a new thing. Apparently, it's more healthy. Don't tell me too much about it. If it's in a health food store, well, that's got to be better for me. So I'm going to take that form of sugar. What's happening is people just want sugar, and it doesn't matter where it's from. If you can make me feel better about my sugar consumption, well, the corporations really are just filling a demand. Mm. What people, right. what really needs to happen is people need to say, I am sweet enough. I'm sweet enough. I don't need any more sugar. I am sweet enough. I'm going to reduce my sugar intake, as painful as that may be. Sorry, folks. It has to happen.
Yes, right, but it can happen slowly too. It doesn't have to be...
It can happen slowly. It can happen quickly. It doesn't matter.
He's a cold turkey kind of guy.
Oh, man, just get it over and done with and jump in the pool, okay? Come on.
That's what we did, you know, all my life. You know, I've said this over and over. I'm not a youngster here. This is not my first rodeo. And I look back and think, oh, my gosh, I wish I had known, you know, everything that I'm finding out now. I wish I had known. But we did. We just jumped in, and we just were so determined that if I'm going to call myself a follower of Yehovah, creator of everything, then why isn't what he created good enough for me to eat? He created all of the things, all of the vegetables, all of the fruits. He created all of that, and then he created man. Mm-hmm. He did it in that order because he created everything that man would need to live and be healthy. We weren't created to be sick. We were not. And our bodies try so hard daily to heal itself. It's designed that way by an intelligent designer.
Amen. Amen.
And so we've got to cooperate. It's us who are not cooperating.
That's right. So let us reflect our creator in the way that he has created us. Let's be intelligent. Let's consume intelligently. Let's think outside the sugar bowl. Is that a good way to put it?
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to leave us with, Dev?
Well, should I just give a couple of these names of hidden sugars that...
Please, yeah.
Because I think that everybody, you know, understands that if it says like sucrose, O-S-E on the end, sucrose, lactose... those kinds of things with O-S-E on the end of it, that's going to be sugar. It, certainly, if you pick up a label and it says, you know, blah, 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 syrup, you know that's sugar. But I'm going to tell you, there are some of these things in here that I was, you know, I can't pronounce them, and I would have never known that they were sugar. Caramel coloring, dextrin, dextran, dextrose, diastatic malt, diatase, diglycerides, disaccharides and trisaccharides, D-tagalose, glucotol, glucamine, glucolactone, glycerol, glycol, hexatol, inversol, something called jaggery, J-A-G-G-E-R-Y, jaggery. Let's see, mannitol, microcrystalline cellulose, glycerides and monosaccharides, neotame.
Neotame.
I would have never known what that was. Pentose, polydextrose, panoca, P-A-N-O-C-H-A, panoca. That's just a short list of all the hidden sugars in things with labels on them.
Processed food.
Yeah, you're not going to know how to pronounce it, and you're not going to know that it is totally messing up your liver.
Mm. All right, I'm going to put that list on the on this post so people can have a look at that.
I'll email that to you. Oh, one more thing. Do you know what agave? I forgot to mention this a while ago. Do you know what fermented agave nectar gets you?
What?
Tequila.
Oh. Tequila.
That is a good use for it.
There you go, tequila.
The best one I can think of is ferment that stuff and get happy.
You may as well.
Yeah, tequila.
If you're going to have it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there you go. Tequila. All right, fair enough. Listen, thank you so much, Deb, for coming on and ruining our lives by telling us we can't have sugar. Oh, I'm so depressed now.
So welcome.
But like we said, special occasions. Keep it for special occasions.
Special occasions and preferably in forms that are better for you, like the black molasses or like the stevia or whatever it may be. There's some homework for the listeners to...
And kefir. Change your taste buds.
Change your taste buds and the way you eat kefir and fermented foods. Mm. There it is, Cultured Pearls with the Cultured Kara Ait Zvora. Thank you so much. The website is www.culturedkaraait.blogspot.com. culturedkaraait.blogspot.com. And of course, you can find her on Facebook just by looking up Cultured Kara Ait. Is that right? The Cultured Kara Ait on Facebook as well. You can go there, like the page, and interact with the information. Thank you again, Devorah, and we look forward to speaking with you very, very soon. Until then, dear listeners, be blessed, be set apart by the truth of our intelligent designer, our Father, his word. Shalom.